Good evening. It is a pleasure to be here this evening. As Todd already shared, I am a bit rattled. Thought I had kind of an easy day, and my easy day turned out to be kind of a difficult one. I didn't get as much alone time right before the meeting as I was anticipating. I had a good drive over here. Yes, I would love to introduce my family. I'll start with my wife, Kaylin. She's a godly woman. I'm blessed more than I deserve to be able to be married to her. We've been married 13 years this past May, and we've had a lot of ups and we've had a lot of downs. But God is good through it all. He is so faithful. And then our oldest is Shayla. And she's our note giver. She loves to write notes and color pictures. And my desk and the walls around my desk are littered with Shayla's artwork. She is 7. She'll be 8 in November. And then we have Cade. He will be 5 in October. And you know how it is. When you get that close, you don't say you're 4 anymore. I'm almost 5, right? But Cade is just our steady Eddie. There's not a lot gets him excited. Even when it comes time to work, Daddy has to get him excited sometimes about moving. And I appreciate that about him. He's just steady and calm. And Cade and Shayla, when they came, my wife and I were like, "This isn't so bad." It didn't feel like arrogantly, but you know. You tell them something and they mind, and then Gage came along. Oh, we love him dearly, but he is a handful. If any of them act up this week, it will be Gage. He is so intense about everything he does. Probably the most intense about eating. He loves his food. He gets up in the morning and he says, "Good morning, I hungry." It's usually one sentence. "Good morning, I hungry." If only we would hunger and thirst after the word of God like Gage hungers for food. Or I should say myself. I would probably be a different person, a different man than I am today. I am 38. I was ordained when I was 28. I was ordained as a deacon. I was deacon for several years and then was put in as associate pastor and then as lead pastor. I am 6 years my wife's senior, but I won't tell you her age, right? I'll let her do that if she would like to do that. But I come to you this evening, enough of the introductions about us, and let's get to the stuff that really matters. I come to you this evening humbled to be called a child of God. Out of everyone, and really out of my life and all the different ways that it could have went, and you'll probably hear more about that a little bit later in the week, but all the ways that it could have went, God was merciful. God was merciful, and he drew me to himself, and I am his child. I am not of the belief, because the Bible teaches contrary, that because I'm a child of God, I can never stray. We must always be careful which direction we're headed. Must always be careful because we can start out ever so well and we can be on fire for Jesus and we can get sidetracked. We can get sidetracked over sometimes very stupid or silly things. In light of eternity. It's a little bit what I want to talk about tonight, but the title of the message is Revival. Why do we need it? Why do we need revival? You'll find out this week that I often start out with several questions just to get our minds thinking. But who needs revival? Is revival needed for every heart? What is revival? And just in looking at the definition of revival, I'm going to go ahead and give the definition to that right now. But what the kind of revival that we're looking at tonight is a restoration to life, a consciousness, a vigor, a strength. Is there a need for revival? When you look around today, or maybe you allow God to examine your own heart, I'm not very old, and I'm certainly not calling Brother Todd old. I would never do that. But he's older than I am. But it seems like, I'm 38, and it seems like in my few short years, I got serious with God when I was 19, okay? I was saved before that, but I got serious with God when I was 19. And from 19 to now, it seems like there's more of a need for revival today than ever before. You see, because the people that you can't help, the hardest people to reach are the people that they don't have a need. You know, and today everybody's saved. You know, we have homosexuals that are saved. We have divorced and remarried people that are saved. The proud, the arrogant. We're all saved. We're all God's chillins. We're going to be okay. Or are we? You know, brothers and sisters, there is a day of reckoning coming. And I want to be on the right side of the judge. There's a day of reckoning coming. That's why revival is needed. You don't need to turn to this. In Psalm 85, if I can turn to it. In Psalm 85, verses 4 through 7, the psalmist cries out on behalf of revival. And he says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Do I desire revival? You know, one aspect of revival is seeing me who I am up against God who he is. And the gap that is between us. And recognizing that I need a work done in my heart. That I need to allow God to revive my heart. The text this evening is taken from Ezekiel 37. Maybe it's a well-known passage. Maybe it's not. But it's the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I find this passage fascinating. The Valley of the Dry Bones. The text is Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. A lot of times run the risk of, I shared this concern with Brother Todd, so if I start stuttering around, part of that is because I stutter when I get excited, okay? And the other part is I don't want to come across, it seems like today people are offended by strong opinions, and I don't want to be offensive, right? But I still want to share my heart. I said all that to say, when I said, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, I believe there's something there worth commenting on briefly. And that is the Bible in this form. Now I know it's the same words, and I understand all that on technology, and there's a place for that. But just as encouragement, and I can't see what you have in your lap, so I can speak freely. But just as encouragement, it's important to me that my children know if Genesis or Revelation comes first in the Bible. And when I can grab something and I just put in Revelation 4, well, which one came first? We have no idea, do we? That's important to me. The other thing is, it's important to me that we weed out distractions as we're worshiping the Lord. And I don't know about your phone. I have an iPhone. I don't know what kind of phone you have, but I have never been able to find. I can mute the settings, okay? But so I'm reading in Ezekiel 37 here, and all of a sudden I get an email. quickly tried to get rid of it, but what happened? It was there. That was completely free, right? That was not my message for this evening. Completely free. Ezekiel 37, let's read verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. The skin was covered, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I've been blessed to study this chapter. That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful in the aspect that the first point we want to look at is in revival. And when we're looking at our hearts, we must allow God to do the examining. When God looks at our hearts, God is not partial. God is not partial when he examines Mark's heart to see if it is dry or if it is alive, to see if it's in need of revival. So the first point that we want to bring out here is allow God to do the examining. When God examines our hearts, he alone knows if revival is needed. He knows what condition our hearts are in. But more importantly, God knows how to make us alive again. Because if I am dead or dying, and the kind of revival we're looking at tonight is not someone that's, I mean, it is in this passage, but my goal is to prompt us, we're not just laid out dying. People are not having to check to see if there's still a spiritual pulse in Mark. But it's any kind of slight slipping spiritually. Any kind of slight slipping spiritually, I stand in need of revival. The moment that Satan has drawn my attention to anywhere else outside of the face of Jesus, I stand in need of revival. We're at a dangerous place. If we're at the point where the pastor is having to come up every Sunday when we walk into church and see, okay, is Mark alive? Okay, there's a faint pulse. We don't want to get to that point. We don't want to get to the point where the children of Israel found themselves in this passage where they were completely without life. My goal is that we catch spiritual slipping long before that. At the first slight deterring, we hear the Spirit of God and we instantly turn back to the Lord. I don't know how many of you that has happened to, but I think of many passages in the Scripture where one of the big reasons for loss of spiritual life, I shouldn't say one of the, but certainly a big reason that the Bible gives, is the cares of this world. And I believe we need to guard against that. You know, I've said before that we spend all of our life owning all these things, right? We buy and we buy and we own all these things. And one morning we wake up and realize all these things that we own actually indeed own me. I'm a slave. I'm a servant. I don't dictate any longer how long my time with the Lord is in the morning. My job does. I don't dictate any longer if I'm going to make it to Wednesday evening prayer meeting, to midweek prayer meeting. I don't decide that. Well, I really do because I've allowed my job, but my job does. This is just real life. I'm not meaning to pick on anyone. These are things that I deal with. Prioritizing. But we must be careful that we don't let the things of this world, the weights of life, crowd in between us and the Lord. We have to guard that with our life. Because we recognize here that only God can give spiritual life. Only God can make us alive again. In Jeremiah, when God examines my heart, he is unbiased. But when I examine my own heart, I'm a little Mark biased. I'm always tilted. In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." God is unbiased. Do you ask God to examine your heart? Do you invite him to do that? You know, there's been times in my life when I've been afraid to. What's he going to find? What's he going to find? But once again, brothers and sisters, I would rather that he find it tonight than find it when I'm standing before him on Judgment Day. He's going to find it. He's already found it. I want him to show me tonight. I don't want to be one of those people that says, "Lord, I was a pastor at Lamb of God for years and years, and Lord, I baptized all these people, and Lord, and he says, "Sorry. I don't know you. Who are you? Why are you trying to come in? You're a wolf. You're not a sheep." And then we all know the next words: "Depart from me. Get away from me." I want him to find it now. I want him to tell me now. I don't want him to tell me then. He is unbiased. Invite him to search your heart. Not only this week. Not only this week, but on a daily basis. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. The next point that I would like to draw our minds to tonight in this passage is one that gets maybe a little sticky. It doesn't always feel good, but oftentimes God will use other people to spark revival in my life. We need messengers, don't we? And we can see here that Ezekiel was the messenger for God's people during this time. Just in this passage, it says three or four times in this passage, it says God told Ezekiel to prophesy unto them. Now this is weighty. If God has prompted you to speak to someone and you don't speak to them, that's a weighty matter. We can see what happened to Jonah when God told him to go speak to the people in Nineveh, and he didn't go.
It was a fairly weighty matter for Jonah, I would say. We have to be faithful. You know, and one of the most overused terms, I believe, that I hear today is we might see a sin or a wrong in another brother or sister's life. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll tell you, I need to really pray to see if I should go tell them about it. Is that accurate? I've searched the scriptures, and I've never once found where God says, if you see a fault or you see a sin in Brother Aaron's life, go pray and go to see if you should go talk to him about it. It just says, go in love. We're to be faithful. We're to be faithful. The only time that I can see that we should pray about it is if we're struggling with the love part. And that would be a time when we would pray and ask God for love in my heart so that I can go the proper way. We must be faithful. Another thing that's very important, and it starts out in verse 1 this way, but that the hand of the Lord was upon me. We can never go alone, right? We must go being with the hand of God being on us. If Mark just goes and talks to people, it probably won't end well. But to allow God to speak through me to others. I don't know if you have times in your life where you've been disobedient, but I'm going to tell you of one tonight when I was, and it didn't end well for me. So until about 3 years ago, well, 3 years in January, I was a farmer until I moved to the big metropolis of Butler. It's huge. If everyone's at home, there's 2,800 people. Until I moved to Butler, I farmed, and one day I was out and I raised calves, and I was out chorn, and they're not just, you know, cattle, but the little baby calves, the little milk calves, you know, feed them milk. And I had around 170. We would do groups and sell them, but it was before we had children. So for my wife and I was like, you kept us busy, and I didn't feel like I always had the time that I should have, you know. And one morning, there was someone in our church that had a nasty fall. He fell off of a stepladder and fell on his upper body, head and neck and shoulders, and he was not doing well at all. He was going to be fine, but he was pretty boogered up. And God laid it on my heart one morning. I mean, it was just clear as a bell. You need to go visit, his name was Ben. You need to go visit Ben in the hospital. And I'm just see if this sounds familiar. It was, yeah, Lord, yeah, as soon, you know, if I have time, if I get all my stuff done, I'll go this afternoon. And I continued to do my work. A little bit later, you need to go visit Ben in the hospital. And it was stronger. And I continued to resist the Lord until God completely confounded my brain that I couldn't even work. I was confused. I would try to go do something. I was confused. And it scared me. I put my stuff down and I said, yes, Lord. I called my wife, or I don't know, I said, I'm going to visit Ben. Why does God have to do that? But to be faithful, to go minister, and to talk, and to warn, and to encourage brothers and sisters in the Lord. We certainly need each other. We weren't created to do it alone. But how many times have I hindered revival in someone else's life because I wasn't faithful? Because I wasn't faithful in sharing. I don't know if I asked you, Brother Todd, what time am I supposed to close? Tomorrow night you'll give me a time. Maybe not, but I don't want to be disrespectful. Now for the exciting point is true revival always brings true life. When you have been revived, when you have been revived of the Lord, you will be alive spiritually. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I think we need to be careful I believe we need to be careful and not listen to everyone. The Bible says, mark those among you. Everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is not saved. How can we know? How can we know? Well, there's several things that the Bible gives us that we can know. One of those is the fruit of the Spirit. Another way is the one I just mentioned. Are they alive? If, I don't know how you all would find out. It'd probably be through BMA, I don't know, and Todd or whatever. But you all got the news. Hey, Brother Mark Eicher from Lamb of God was in an accident today and he was killed, okay? And if some of you knew me better than possibly you do, maybe Todd, I don't know, maybe some of you. But let's just say you decide to come to a viewing, right, or the funeral. And I'm laying up front. I'm stiff as a board. I'm cold. I'm pale. And I'm not moving. Would you think I was dead? You'd think I was dead.
Your body's dead.
My body's dead, right. And that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you'd think I was dead. My body's dead, right? What if I could still move my mouth and I would whisper to you, I look dead, but I'm actually alive. But I'd continue to lay there, completely still, stiff, cold, and pale. I might make you look at me again, but would it change your mind? There's no sign of life, right? Other than me being able to whisper. We are fools spiritually to live our lives cold, pale, stiff, with no pulse, with no blood. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. We are fools to think if we're living our lives that way that we're alive spiritually. We're dead. We're dead. You might be saying, Mark, why are you saying this tonight? I'll tell you why I'm saying this tonight. Lamb of God is no different than anywhere else. And the few churches that I get into, I sense. This whole idea, don't judge me, right? That works for you. Me and God have something worked out. Don't judge me. It comes from an individualistic lifestyle. You do your thing and I'll do mine. Don't judge me. If there's a phrase today that I'm sick and tired of hearing, it's don't judge me. I could quite possibly read these verses to somebody without giving any context on them at all, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear them say back, don't judge me. You see, we're going down a direction that is more mouth-based than life-based. Maybe not here. If not, disregard it. But overall, we're living our spiritual life with just words. And I believe that God would desire us to just be quiet until our life backs it up. Just be quiet. Like, don't live a lie. True revival always, not sometimes, always brings true life. We heard that in verses 10 through 14 in this passage. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in unto them, and they lived. Brothers and sisters, there was action. And they stood upon their feet. An exceeding great army. Over and over, God's promise through Ezekiel was that he wanted to put his spirit into them that they could live. That they could live. Yes, I'm doing well spiritually. I'm doing well spiritually. I do just have this sin that I just can't. You know, I just can't get. But I'm alive. I'm doing well. Could it be that we've lowered God's standards in our minds to down here so that we can live in sin and still, they're still attainable? When God calls us to come up out of the muck and up out of the mire and to be clean by the blood of Jesus. There is an idea out there that's being taught in our circles that, you know, if you don't want to sin, if you don't, I was just told this. If you don't want to sin, if you don't want to be there, and this brother used the sin of pornography, not the struggle, not the thorn in my flesh, but the sin of pornography. You know, if you don't want to be there, and you just haven't found the key yet to get out, that if you died in that state, the grace of Jesus would cover you, and you'd go to heaven. I don't know what Bible he's reading, but mine tells me that with every temptation, God has given me a way of escape that I can live victoriously. I don't have to be bound by sin, brothers and sisters. It doesn't have to be a part of my life. If I stumble and fall, I fall on my face before God and I repent. What do you mean he's still looking for the key? What's the blood of Jesus? Is the blood of Jesus not the key? Has the blood of Jesus started losing its power, Brother Todd? No, it's never aged and it never will. The blood of Jesus is alive and well. And it still frees people from sin who are truly repentant and who truly seek revival in their hearts. It still frees people from sin. Let me tell you something. It's freed this old dirty heart that's standing before you this morning. I'm clean. Am I still in a war? Yeah, I'm in a war. Isn't that what we signed up for? We fight. We fight. Don't accept defeat. It's just my burden to bear. I'm gonna stick with that. Pornography is just my burden to bear. I wish it was gone, but you know, what do? I'm still looking for the key. Still looking for the key. And day after day after day after day, I live a life of filth instead of a life of a redeemed brother in Christ. This is not in the scripture, but I have came to a conclusion that the reason that happens is because I'm not yet done with sin. I'm not over it. It feels good. It looks good. It tastes good. Of course it does, to the flesh. It has to appeal to us in some way or we wouldn't be tempted, right? I tell the church this at home. They know me well by now. But I tell them, you will never. I should be careful because we're going to some of your houses for meals. Or maybe this would be good. I said, you will never tempt me with sauerkraut. It's not appealing. The appealing part is not what's sin. It appeals to the flesh. It's called temptation. It's a battle, right? That's what we signed up for. We fight and we war. It's a spiritual warfare going on. But God has given a way of escape that we don't have to live a defeated life. My heart breaks when we make Christianity out to be this fallen walk of life, when in Romans, I believe it's Romans, it says that we're not just conquerors, but we can be more than conquerors. It means we're not just surviving, but we're thriving spiritually. We're taking the battle to the enemy. We're not hunkered down in a corner, all shielded up, our whole life just trying to survive until that trumpet sounds. But we're taking the battle to the enemy, right? We're going on the offensive. Yes, we need revival. Billy Sunday said it like this: when is revival needed? When carelessness and unconcern keep people asleep. When may revival be expected? When the wickedness of the wicked grieves and distresses the Christian. When may revival be expected? When the wickedness of the wicked grieves and distresses the Christian. I'm going to pick on a couple of things here tonight, but just as a gauge, right? Does divorce and remarriage grieve your heart tonight? I want to tell you something. It did the church when it first was introduced. Do you know our children will view, I believe, homosexuality the way that we view divorce and remarriage? It's like a frog in a frying pan, isn't it? A little bit, a little bit, a little bit. I spent most of the night speaking about, really we could just call it lukewarmness. You know, in this valley here, the bones were so dry, they had no life left in them at all. God done the awakening. And you know what, brothers and sisters, in our hearts and in our lives, God has to do the awakening for us too. We've been taught what to say. We've been taught what to do. We've been taught to go to church every Sunday. We might have even been taught at certain times in the service to raise our hands and say amen or hallelujah. None of those things are wrong. They're just wrong if we're doing them with an unrevived heart. If they're just actions, that's all they are. There's nothing behind them. Are you feeling tonight like this is you? Like you're dry? Are you feeling tonight like maybe you're the one that has accepted that sin into your heart and you're tired? Let me give some encouragement. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It says that we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. Don't be alarmed that there's a battle going on. That's what we signed up for. There's going to be battle. There's going to be war over our souls. But rather be alarmed if you have become friends with the wrong side. If you have started becoming friends with the enemy, that's where we'll be alarmed. We get tired. And in closing tonight, I want to tell you a story. That if you're feeling tired tonight, if you wish the battle would just go away, maybe you're just tired of being the battleground and you just want some relief. This is a true story. It was September the 17th, 1862. There's a little 30-acre field in Sharpsburg, Maryland. It was planted to corn. And this little 30-acre field is nestled back in between some woods. The description, it was a surreal, it's just a beautiful piece of ground. September the 17th, if their corn grew then like ours does today, it was about ready to harvest. This 30-acre field was proudly showing off its yield, right? Little did it know what was coming for it the next morning. You see, on one side creeping up was Robert E. Lee, Confederate commander. On the other side was George B. McClellan, the Union commander. And each of them were bringing thousands and thousands of soldiers. When day broke that morning, there was a battle that waged over that 30-acre field that to this day is known as one of the bloodiest battles on American soil. Within 24 to 36 hours, there was 23,000 soldiers dead, wounded, or missing in action from that battle. How can that be that within the space of just a few hours, we go from this beautiful, beautiful, all is well in our lives, right? All is well, to maybe we lose a loved one or we're diagnosed with cancer. Or you fill in the blank. And suddenly, this field of beautiful grain that was displayed in my life is standing there with holes all through it. It's trampled down, and we feel like we have nothing to offer. We're tired. We wish the battle would go elsewhere. Is God still there? Out of all the millions of acres, does he see my 30 acres right here? Does he care? I hurt. I don't know if I can keep going on. I'm tired. I'm worn out. If you were that person this evening, did you know that God wants to revive you? God does care. He wants to make you whole again. To our chorister, if you would have a song in just a moment, we'd like to leave a time of invitation this evening for what I just explained. If you're feeling dry in your heart tonight, if you're feeling wounded, if you feel like the battle just won't go away, brothers and sisters, it's at the feet of Jesus where you need to find yourself this evening. It's at the feet of Jesus. We sometimes sing that song, "Revive Us Again. Fill each heart with your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above." God is good. God is good all the time. Not just when things go the way that I think they should go. God is good all the time. If all is well here with every person tonight, to God be the glory. If you were touched tonight and you feel like you need to respond and make things right with God, then certainly do so. Sometimes things need worked out just between me and God. Sometimes we would desire to have someone beside us. If you are being prompted to come forward this evening and you would desire to have someone pray with you, when you kneel down up front here, just raise your hand. And I'm sure someone would be more than happy to kneel with you. If you'd rather just work it out, you and God, that's amazing as well. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revival that you give and that you are waiting to give. Thank you for the life.
that you want to fill each heart, Lord, and make us whole again. Lord, you know the hearts that are here. You can see them, Lord. I just pray that if there are tired believers here, or wounded, or possibly even missing, Lord, that you would prompt them to get right with you tonight. You would prompt them to come and ask you for life, for that breath of life that you told Ezekiel to prophesy into them, that you would breathe into us that we could be whole again. Lord, help us to mind your spirit this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you have a song to sing? And I would ask everyone to mind the spirit. You know where you're at this evening. Do you need the Lord this evening? I know I do. Let's bow our heads one more time and pray for those that came forward. We would be dismissed then, and I would just ask you to be respectful and quiet and allow a private time this evening. Lord, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and thank you for those that responded. God, would you just do a work in their heart? I pray the power of your Holy Spirit upon them, Lord. They could walk through life victorious, more than conquerors. Father, thank you for our time together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.